as is often the case around here at WNYC, when something big happens in the headlines, we get a call from our friend and evening music host here at WNYC, Terrence McKnight, who said, political debate? Hey, I can give you a musical debate. Invite me onto the show on Friday. And so, of course, we always do. And long ago, there was something called cutting contests that took place in front of live audiences around the United States. They were a really big deal in the 1920s. And Terrence, thanks for joining us, Terrence.
Thank you, John.
Is going to tell us about a cutting contest that took place quite a long time ago. Explain.
Well, I brought a story that you and Adore would enjoy. Part music, part history, part politics. So before these cutting contests, when you would have, you know, Willie the Lion Smith and James P. Johnson, all these guys getting together trying to outdo one another, back in 1880, there were two guys, both sightless, who came together to outdo one another. So I want to tell you about these two guys. First of all, there was a guy named Thomas Wiggins Bethune. He was born in 1849. He was born on a plantation in Georgia. And so he was born into slavery. And by the time he was three, his family, his master, realized that he had a talent. So he started playing piano. And by the time he was five, he composed this music. It's called The Rainstorm.
Oh, wow.
And you'll be able to hear this storm coming through Georgia as the music continues. So Tom, this kid, by the time he's eight, he's going around the state, going around the country, touring, and he's playing concerts. Beethoven, Mozart, Bach.
He's kind of a prodigy like Mozart.
Prodigy, yeah. Mm. He was considered autistic savant.
Mm-hmm.
Tom could, he could talk in different languages, not really understanding what he was saying, but he would just imitate the sounds. Now you get him imitating a sound of a storm here.
Nice.
It's a rainy night in Georgia.
Yeah, there you go.
So now, by 1860, right before the Civil War started, Tom was amassing $20,000-$30,000 a year.
Oh my goodness. And this is in the 1880s.
This is in 1860. So by the time the Civil War is going and at the height of his career, he's bringing in $100,000 a year. Now the irony is that his master, Bethune, was using this money to support the Confederate efforts. Yes.
Oh, so the master got all the money.
Right, that's right. So now at the same time in 1864, you have this guy, William Boone, John William Boone, who was born in a Union Army camp. His father was white, his mother was black, and she, his mother, would clean homes for people. And so this kid would hear these piano lessons being played by these children. And this is Tom right here. You get a sense of his Southern root.
So this is Blind Tom.
We're back to Blind Tom now. Now listen to this. Listen at this. Those sounds that he's making underneath the piano, he would whistle. He would make grunting sounds, and he would do all this stuff while he would play. Sometimes he would play one tune in one hand, another tune in another hand, and whistle at the same time. Now, this guy Blind Boone fashioned his career after Blind Tom.
But he's on the Union side.
He's on the Union side. And so Tom comes to Missouri in 1880 for this piano showdown between Tom the old guard and Blind Boone the younger. And the audience is in this hall, segregated audience, whites on one side, blacks on one side. You've got the stage full, and Tom is back. Boone is backstage listening to Tom woo the audience. People are going crazy. And after Tom plays, Boone comes on stage, and he plays exactly what Tom does. And Tom and Boone plays a piece for Tom. Tom plays exactly what Boone does.
Whoa.
And so the audience starts going crazy. And so you get a sense that politics is local, because Boone didn't outdo Tom, but he certainly at least broke even.
And matched him.
That's right. And so Tom passed the torch to Boone, and he never showed up in that area again. He never showed up in Missouri again for the rest of his life. This is 1880. Tom lived to 1908, so he gave the territory to Boone.
To the young man.
So it was a real smackdown.
I guess so. It goes to show that reality, American reality, is sometimes stranger than reality TV.
But it was the older guy making room for the younger guy.
That's right.
And Boone played until the end of his career and died in 1927. And was he still bringing in audiences till the end?
He was. He brought in audiences to the end. In fact, he played more than 26,000 concerts, Boone did.
26,000?
26,000 concerts. And both of these guys died pretty much in poverty. Blind Thomas buried here in Brooklyn. Died in Hoboken, New Jersey, and he's buried here in Brooklyn. And Blind Boone is buried in Missouri. And there are still, events around Blind Boone. But both of these guys, when they died, both of their musics kind of died with them, so there's been a resurgence. And I should mention that the pianist that we're listening to, his name is John Davis. He's a New Yorker, and he recorded this. It's the first commercial recording of Blind Tom's music was done in 1999, and John has since released a recording of Blind Boone's music earlier this year.
Well, Terrence, thanks so much. And like political debates, the outcome is uncertain, yet it might be fascinating to get Barack Obama and John McCain in front of a keyboard instead of listening to their stump speeches on stage there. Peter Jeffrey is with us still from the Wall Street Journal. Do you sense an outcome from this debate, a definitive outcome from this musical debate?
From the musical debate? I don't know. It's a fascinating story. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And now, with CDs and the music industry the way it is now, the idea of having, J-Lo and Shakira on stage doing a sort of sing-off. Yeah, maybe that could happen.
That's something to visualize about. Let's stop and think about that for a minute.
Terrence, do you have a name for the financial catastrophe before we go? Besides meltdown?
What financial catastrophe?
What financial catastrophe?
The one from yesterday or the one from...
What financial catastrophe? That's great. Well, thank you, Terrence McKnight, host of WNYC's Evening Music, and Peter Jeffrey, the Reply to All columnist in the Wall Street Journal.